Thank you, Jimmy, and once again, good morning. We'll begin this morning, Book of Daniel, Chapter 9. Daniel, Chapter 9. We started last Sunday morning, regarding the face of evil. And I believe the face of evil has become all the more apparent, even in this last week. But this morning, we'll go to the other end of the spectrum, dealing with the righteousness of God. So let's clarify terms to begin with. Speak of righteousness, defined by Thayer, the state or the condition of the one who is as he ought to be. An acceptable relationship with God, an acceptable condition with God. So one who is righteous is in a right relationship with God. Really, one who is lined up with God. So that raises the question then, God being righteous, and speaking of the righteousness of God, is it possible that really to have a relationship with God, even for me? Each one of us needs to ask. Even for me, is it possible to be in a right relationship with God? So consider then the two parties involved, God and us. Thinking of God, book of Isaiah, chapter 6 and verse 1. Isaiah saw that wondrous vision of the Lord on his throne, lofty and lifted up, and the seraphim standing above him, calling out one to the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory." After all, he is the one, in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16, who dwells in unapproachable light. Observe then here from the book of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel speaking of himself and his situation, his time, but applies to us as well. In verse 7, he says, "Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord. He is holy, sacred, set apart to the nth degree, and righteousness belongs to you. His justice and his virtue." You observe also in verse 14, "The Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds." So God is absolutely and God is thoroughly holy and righteous, known by all his righteous deeds. What then of us? What then of man? As we observed last time, both the original couple and we ourselves, by rebelling against God, open the door to evil. And indeed, as I saw last time, to the activity of the evil one. So again, from the book of Daniel chapter 9, in verse 7, "Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us, open shame, as it is this day." The reason being in verse 14, righteousness, respect to his deeds, which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. Indeed, not in obeying God's voice, in verse 7, in the latter part of verse 7, all the unfaithful deeds which man had done. Observe the contrast. God is known by his righteous deeds. Man is known by his unfaithful deeds. We can acknowledge then what Scripture says. We can acknowledge the truth of what Scripture says. Regarding man's sin, in the 14th Psalm, verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, committed abominable deeds. None who does good." And verse 3 adds, "No, not even one." Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 20. "There's not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and never sins." We can say, I fall in that category. And then Isaiah reminds us, Isaiah 64 and verse 6, "All our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. So try as hard as we may to do good, and yet our garments are still dirty and stinky and smelly. New Testament Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 3 and verse 10, as he quotes from the 14th Psalm, none righteous, not even one. In that familiar verse in Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What a contrast. Two parties wouldn't seem to be able to be further apart than they really are. God, holy and righteous, absolutely. And mankind, open shame. Disobeying God, our righteous deeds like a filthy garment. None righteous, not even one, not one of us of accountable age can say we are free of sin. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How then is it possible for man to be in a right relationship with God? And obviously, the only one who can make this possible is God himself. God provides the answer. Look back, the book of Genesis chapter 15. The example of Abram. He won't be Abraham until chapter 17, but it's Abram here. Are you reading with me? Don't just sit passively listening. Be involved. Get your Bible. Abram had been promised by God to make him a great nation. But time is moving on and still no children. And so God reassures Abram in verse 5. Took him outside and said, look toward the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Observe verse 6. Then he believed in the Lord. Notice, he didn't just believe the Lord. He did not believe, it wasn't simply believing the word of the Lord. He believed in the Lord. See, if I make you a promise, but you know that my conduct, my character, you know, isn't the best, I may or may not do what I say, then my promise won't carry very much weight. But Abram believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, verse 6, reckoned it, his belief in the Lord, reckoned it to him as righteousness. Now this idea of reckon, or count, in other translations, it speaks of an activity of the mind. It's a conscious mental decision. An example. Book of 2 Samuel chapter 16. David is facing crisis. There's rebellion. His son Absalom is leading a rebellion, so David having to flee from Jerusalem. As he's leaving Jerusalem, a man by the name of Shimei comes up and he's not only cursing David, he continues to curse him and also throw stones as David is leaving Jerusalem. Then the tide turns and Absalom is killed and the rebellion comes to nothing. David is coming back to Jerusalem. In chapter 19, in verse 19 and verse 20, the same Shimei comes to David. He who had previously cursed David and thrown stones at David, and now Shimei comes back to David with a request. Let not my Lord consider me guilty. Or remember what I had done. In verse 20, he acknowledged, I have sinned. When Shimei asked David, let not my Lord consider me guilty. That's the same word for the Lord reckon it to him as righteousness. See, it's an activity of the mind. It's a mental activity. And Shimei was pleading to David, don't consider me guilty. And David did not put him to death, as he was urged to do so. So in the same regard, God considered or reckoned Abram's faith as righteousness. Now, I didn't mean to say that Abram was faultless. In chapter 20, no, he's Abraham, but in chapter 20, he's again, as he had previously, gives a misrepresentation regarding his wife in order to save his own skin. Yeah, he kind of wobbled, but what he did not do regarding God's promise, you have children like the stars of the heavens. Paul tells in Romans 4, verse 20 and verse following, he did not waver in unbelief. He grew strong in faith. Considering what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham held firm to his belief of what God had said God was going to do. And as a result, the child of promise was born, Isaac. And then in the book of James, chapter 2, the promise, the statement, he reckoned to him as righteousness, was fulfilled in later years when a child grew and Abraham was ready to sacrifice him on the altar as God directed. It was fulfilled. And Abraham was called the friend of God. Does that sound like a relationship with God? Called the friend of God? Upon what basis? Upon a faith that didn't waver, upon an obedient faith. Not merely a statement, but an obedient faith being fulfilled as Abraham was ready to do what God required of him and even sacrifice his son. Righteousness upon the basis of an obedient faith. Now, having seen that, New Testament, book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. These familiar verses in verse 16 and verse 17. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, for the righteous man shall live by faith. Now observe there in verse 17. The righteousness of God. You'll notice in your translation that the term the is in italics. In other words, in the original, there is no article. It could be a faith of a righteousness of God, a God kind of righteousness. And how do we learn about this God kind of righteousness? It's revealed. And here, how is it revealed? In it. And what he'd been talking about was the gospel. The gospel, as Paul summarized in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 3 and following, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and he appearing there to those appointed witnesses. As we just sung in the hymn, Christ's giving his life for us. Christ being a substitute for us. And so the righteousness of God, he said, revealed in the gospel. Well, wait a minute. The gospel didn't reveal God's righteousness. Didn't Daniel back in the Old Testament saying, righteousness belongs to you, O God? It was known God's righteousness. God is righteous in the Old Testament. So the gospel didn't reveal God is righteous. The gospel, God's power for salvation. The righteousness was God's plan to make man righteous. So observe. Not ashamed of the gospel. The message of Christ's substitute death on our behalf. For in it, we're told, righteousness of God is revealed. Because in the gospel is the power of God for salvation. So, book of Mark chapter 16. In verse 15 and verse 16, the Lord gave command to his apostles, and of course, likewise, down through the centuries, to us, to preach the gospel to all creation. Now, the gospel is God's power for salvation to those who believe. So preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Who has disbelieved shall be condemned. So therefore, the belief required in the gospel is a belief that also must be seen in obedience, by being baptized. Baptized to receive forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, as in Acts 2 verse 38. When a person obeys the gospel, believing Jesus died for our sins, turns from sin, repents, being baptized into Christ, our Lord promises that individual shall be saved. So when an individual believes, what transpires? In Romans 6 and verse 16, we are slaves of the one whom we obey, either of sin, resulting in death, or of obedience, resulting in righteousness. The righteousness of God is revealed. The righteous man shall live by faith. He is righteous, she is righteous, by obeying the gospel. And when one obeys the gospel, one is saved. And being saved, having sins removed, the individual then is righteous, lined up with God, in a right relationship with God. And so the two parties that appear to be so far apart in Christ Jesus are brought together. Romans, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. Christ became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, Paul said he made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, lined up with God, if we are in Christ Jesus. And Paul's own statement, book of Philippians 3 and verse 9, desire to be found in him, in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. As in Abraham's case, so also with ours. On the basis of faith, an obedient faith. Faith that doesn't obey will never result in righteousness, because obedience results in righteousness. One who does not obey, someone says, oh, I believe in Jesus. The individual is not righteous. The individual is not lined up with God. The individual is not right with God, because faith requires obedience. But when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you and I, with all of our wobbling and weakness, when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and remain true to that commitment and live accordingly, 1 John chapter 1, he cleanses us of all unrighteousness. That is a thought. That is a truth that just boggles the mind. And the day we can take that and just, well, okay, I believe that, okay, is the day we're in trouble. To be continually amazed and wonder at the grace of God, that we, with all of our faults and failures, being in Christ, following Christ, can be regarded by God as ones who are righteous. But then a warning. You and I are the very ones who can mess that up. We rely upon God that we might be right with him, but you and I are the ones that can mess it up. You and I are the ones that can actually work against God's purpose on our behalf. Book of Romans chapter 10. The text was read for us this morning. Paul's concern for his fellow countrymen, the Jews, his heart's desire and prayer for God is for their salvation. How would salvation come? By obeying the gospel. For to testify about them, they have a zeal for God. Oh, they were zealous for God. There was nobody more religious, fervently religious, than the people of Israel. A zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Here were people who had received the law, the covenants, the promises, etc. But people who did not know of the righteousness of God. Or they knew about God. As James tells us in the book of Acts 15, verse 21, they had Moses read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Paul reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, that from a child he had known the sacred writings. They knew about God. But remember what they did. They disowned the holy and righteous one. As Peter says in the book of Acts chapter 3, the holy and righteous one, Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. And in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is Jesus Christ. By disowning, by rejecting the holy and righteous one, they rejected the Word of God, the Logos, Jesus Christ. People today, we believe in God, but likewise reject the Word of God. Worship as we please, as did the Jews. In vain do the worship and teaching his doctrines and precepts of men. And many are fervently religious. They even break a sweat in their religion. They even break a sweat in their worship, which I don't think we've done before. But apparently folks will actually break a sweat, jumping up and down and hollering and all the rest of it. They're zealously religious. What do they know of the righteousness of God? God's righteousness is in the gospel. God's righteousness requires obedience of his word. Individuals decide they can worship as they please. We can change things around to be more acceptable to the society in which we live. We know better, not to get baptized for forgiveness of sins. Just believe, that's all that's required. If that's all Abraham had done, he would not have received that son. He would not have been the friend of God. Obedience, or belief requires obedience. And for the gospel to cleanse, it requires willing participants of obedient and submissive individuals, saying, I believe what Christ promises. I will do what Christ commands, being baptized into him and to live accordingly. Many, of course, also believe likewise. Oh, I believe in God. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a member of the church. But I can be elsewhere on Sunday because I'm involved in good deeds. What I'm doing is worthwhile. What I'm doing is a good work. It will help other people in placing good works over and above the obedience of the gospel. Well, maybe indeed good works are involved in knowing what God requires, not forsaking our own assembling together, and laying that aside. How can one expect to be lined up properly with God? You know, we can mess things up by asserting and assuming our own standard of righteousness. But then secondly, we can mess things up by refusing to live consistently with God's righteousness. Book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Obeying the gospel is required. So individuals obey the gospel, they're baptized into Christ. By obedience, they are regarded by God as righteous. That means, therefore, a way of life has to follow. So observe in verse 22, Ephesians 4, verse 22. Now, with reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. You can't live as you once did. Lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, the way of life that follows one being baptized into Christ, becoming a Christian, being regarded by God as righteous, requires a way of life that is righteous and holy. Now, observe, Paul then gives a list of examples of the changes that need to be made. He begins, you observe, in verse 25, but what comes out of the mouth? Laying aside falsehood. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are neighbors, we are members, rather, one of another. And then, what's going on in the heart? Be angry, and yet do not sin. Don't let the sin go down in your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. So, there is a right to be angry. The times when we need to be angry, we are not angry. Be angry and yet do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So if anger is allowed to ferment and go on and go on and go on, What transpires? You're giving the devil an opportunity. You give the devil an opportunity, what's he going to do? He's going to take it. And he's the one we discussed last week who is the evil one. You give the evil one an opportunity to get into your life and your heart. What's going to be the result? What's going to be the result in your heart? What's going to be the result in your family? What's going to be the result in your relationships? What will be the result in your relationship with God? Don't give him an opportunity. Anger must be controlled. Anger must be represented of one who is righteous and holy in the new life in Christ Jesus. So observe the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1. James reminds the ones to whom he's writing, Christians, they've been brought forth or born again by the word of truth. They have obeyed the truth. They are now in Christ Jesus, and therefore they are righteous in God's eyes, and therefore the way of life should be representative of righteousness and holiness. Verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Book of Ephesians, be angry, do not sin. Be slow to anger. Not off the top of your head. Get angry with the drop of a hat and drop in the hat yourself. Be slow to anger. Because in verse 20, for the anger of man does not achieve or does not work the righteousness of God. This term anger, as used here by James, speaks of a settled indignation. It is an abiding condition of the mind. A settled indignation. An abiding condition of the mind. Been around some people where something said quite innocently and they blow up. And you wonder, where in the world did that come from? Where it came from is identified right here. Anger has been suppressed. Anger has not been dealt with. And anger not been dealt with has given the evil one an opportunity, and he has taken it. And so you observe James's admonition here. He's slow to anger, because anger does not work the righteousness of God. Anger, uncontrolled anger, which is just held on to and allowed to go over and over again in the mind, doesn't work God's righteousness. It works against God's righteousness. One may be have on their church face in worship, go out the door and change faces. Can't do that. If you have been in the habit of doing that, recognize where you are. You're placing yourself outside the realm of those who are acceptable to God. It is your doing. Nobody else's. Or those who are angry can always point to somebody else or something else. If they hadn't done this or if that hadn't happened. But it's our doing, our decision. And so you observe in verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Allow God's word in your heart. Book of Colossians, that the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That is why those who are elders of the Lord's church, who are examples to the flock, one thing which is forbidden for elders, not those who are quick-tempered, in Titus 1 verse 7. And for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, whose life should represent righteousness and holiness, an anger uncontrolled, an anger that flares, an anger that is inappropriate, an anger that's allowed to meet in the heart and destroy relationships and homes, is entirely opposed to and contrary to the will of God. The righteousness of God, God's righteousness revealed in God's word, God's aim and desire that we be righteous, accomplished only in Christ Jesus. So their book of Romans 1 and verse, chapter 1, verse 16, verse 17, speaking there of the salvation that God desires for all men. You see the significance of salvation? Salvation is ones who are saved by obedience to the gospel, righteous. Not by our means, but by our submission to God's will. And as we observe also, for those who believe, but believe requires obedience. Because against whom is the wrath of God revealed? In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8, those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Believing is not enough. To say, I believe in God, I believe in Christ, is not enough. Have you indeed obeyed the gospel? Have you put that belief into action? Been baptized into Christ to gain newness of life and resulting in righteousness, being lined up acceptably with God, only as you obey the gospel. And yes, righteous in Him. And we're in Him in only one way. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. You have put on Christ. Faith shown in obedience, resulting being in Christ, righteous, acceptable to God, lined up with God Almighty, setting about to live our lives as those who show righteousness and holiness in all that we do. Whatever your need might be to be right with God Almighty, whatever you need to obey the gospel, being baptized into Him, where's a time for seeking your brethren's help to change whatever it is that's holding you apart from being as God would have you to be? Then please use this time. Make that need known. Obey the Christ. Let us stand and sing.